even and all that stuff.
Hey, you knew what green stands for.
I did. That's all I guess. Okay.
Back over there.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Well, this is completely off the subject of the past for a long time, but back to design and the town ordinances. I'm familiar that there's an active recreational space requirement for multifamily housing in the town of Chapel Hill. I don't know. We've certainly got parks, but we won't be owning the park to put in shuffleboard courts or chess boards because we won't be the owner of that. So that sort of took away some of my ideas with respect to that. How will we be treated with respect to rec fees?
We're going to bring either J.D. Culpepper or Gene Covarrubo down. J.D. is the acting planning director and Gene is the acting current development director. And they're the two people who know the most about what the town's options are. But typically in this kind of development, all of this open space could be counted in part as recreation space. And space inside buildings for exercise rooms and things of that nature could be counted as well. And beyond that, I'm getting too far off in the technical waters. But I don't think it's going to be a hard problem to solve. I think it's going to be solved by the kinds of things you would ordinarily want to do in this kind of development anyway, and that you would ordinarily build in as part of your amenities.
Okay. I guess one of our questions is that if we can't solve the rec requirement, there's a pay in lieu of, which could be expensive per unit.
Well, they can help us figure this out a little bit.
Okay.
Because my understanding is it needs to be open to the public. So although we may have workout facilities for residents, I wouldn't anticipate that they would be open to the public.
I don't know that that's right.
I don't know that that's right.
Is that not right?
Yeah. I don't know, but in talking with a couple of other local developers and how they solved it, their exercise rooms weren't open to the public and they said that qualified.
Right.
I don't know all of that.
Okay.
For instance, in the condominiums at McCorkle Place, they're going to have an exercise room that's going to meet most of their recreation space. And it's not going to be open to the public. I don't think it's going to be a hard problem to solve, but maybe we'll find that differently once we get somebody who really knows who's here.
Is
JD
or are they coming?
Yeah. She just went up to the
office. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, great. They're going to come right now.
But that begs the bigger question.
Yeah, well, it seems like, and I'm not as familiar with the town of Chapel Hill ordinance as I probably need to be, but I think we would greatly appreciate the town's assistance and J.B. or Gene's assistance in particular in looking over our numbers and our budget and our preliminary design to identify where we have deficits.
Well, we have been assumed.
Sure.
Well, we didn't even think about a rec requirement or a rec fee.
Or impact fees.
Yeah.
And to help us quantify what that will mean from a budgeting standpoint for this project. Because we hear your desire for us to give you as close an estimate as we can. And so in order for us to do that, we need your help in identifying what are we missing in our budget and in our design that are required by the ordinance and that will help us achieve approval of the full council.
And we'll be glad to do that. And they've already done some work to review. They've sat in on the sessions or even making presentations, things of that nature.
But can we get somebody to itemize the impact fees and all that are required?
We can have somebody work with the RAM team.
I think we've already started doing some of that, right?
Yeah, that's not going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. But we did that.
That's
not as a problem.
Right. Debbie's coming right
now. So we're right. Fair enough. Absolutely. Okay.
Should we wait till they get here?
Well, that's just a long while they're waiting for them.
One of the things that which we haven't talked about, but I've noticed in there, and I know I'm jumping around too, in the financing section, one of the things that you're looking for is financing commitments relatively early. Like, we have a lender, or we've got equity, or we've got whatever lined up.
I think what we're looking for is in two phases. We would like indications, informal, not binding, early on that, yes, we're interested in, we're prepared, assuming this continues from that, to participate in this project. But there comes a point which we recognize is going to be down the road, and there's six that we don't want to see binding loan commitments.
Yeah, because we won't really, there's no way to have
no,
anything.
No,
you know,
no,
we can get any more letters like we did in our RFP saying, yes, we're very interested, but
I think the project is done or approved. Letters that zero in on this project and this configuration.
Just
something general.
Yeah,
right. The firmer is more the harder the letter, the better, honestly. But we don't expect miracles.
Right. Because there won't be any loans that won't commit, because we don't know what it looks like until it gets finished through the process. You have the general idea, but financing change, market change, interest rates, we assume, are going to continue to change. Okay. I have a really silly question.
Okay. Will we be assessing ad valorem taxes?
Yeah.
On just the retail component and the
residential,
but not on the parking spaces because there would be a license tax stuff, and not on the public space because that would be a license tax.
Well, what if we don't structure it where you have the whole parking garage, as we talked about, and you're all condominiumized? Then do we? Then there would be ad valorem taxes. So that's a benefit to the town to do it. The other way.
It would be a benefit to us to let you do it.
Okay.
I think most of you know J.B. Culpepper. And J.B., just to identify faces you may not know, this is Lynn Hardiman.
You met, good.
Holly Alderman from our community. I think you know Neil Alderman.
Yeah.
Holly is an attorney working with Ram in this case. Ivy Granger is an Anderson partner. And Susan Garson Russo is going to be the person on the scene making this thing work. Mm-hmm. And Craig Kaiser is an attorney working with Holly.
Okay.
And what we have talked about in specific is the need to better understand recreation space requirements for the type of development that's being proposed at Lot 5 and at the Wallace Deck.
Yeah.
And then more generally, I've offered your assistance and working with them to understand the development, or rather the land use management ordinance regulations that will apply to this development, so that they can pretty quickly begin to understand any place where they are clearly outside the limits of what we allow, and to understand any costs that may be involved, including fees and impact fees, things of that nature. Now, let me tell you this so you'll understand why J.D. got a somewhat pained look on her face when I said I volunteered her time. Roger Walden is gone. Roger worked 50 to 60 hours a week. We have Chris working limited hours only on this project. She used to work 50 to 60 hours a week. Phil Purdy is going to be planning director in a little town in Rhode Island. Dana Stedman is off on parental leave. The receptionist has moved to Florida, so she's hurting.
You guys might want to look at your benefits.
She'll do the very best she can to help you, though, and will give you as much priority as you possibly can. All right, J.D.?
You bet.
So you want to talk about recreation first, right?
Okay.
So for a multifamily development, we have a requirement, recreation space requirement, and it's a ratio, and a fairly small one. The ordinance calls for the recreation space to be improved, and it's to meet the recreational needs of these residents. And so it's not uncommon to see active on-site for a multifamily, a traditional suburban multifamily development, like the swimming pool and the tennis courts, basketball, that sort of thing. We have also recently been seeing fitness rooms. I'm not sure to say an area set aside. It seems that has area up on top of the building where people could walk or bocce ball, volleyball. I mean, it's improved active recreation. And we'll have an opportunity to get some feedback from our parks and rec folks who also have lots of ideas that would be able to assist as well as exploring ideas.
You know, this project is unusual in that we're going to be adjacent to some public space, some semi-public space, and private outdoor space. Would any of that count?
Well, there is a provision. So you're talking about you're going to have open space on site, but it's not actively improved to meet the recreational needs.
Because there isn't a volleyball court sitting in it.
Right. Traditionally, it's improved in some way. There are provisions for payment in lieu as well. If you wanted your money, if you wanted instead of having on site rec to have it go for recreation improvements in the immediate area, the ordinance promotes for that as well.
Debbie, let me ask you a little technical question.
Okay, ask away.
It's the size, the number of square feet derived by multiplying gross land area of the development by the applicable ratio.
Yeah.
The development's going to be an error if there's no land.
All right, well, and I'm not going to look at it the same way that you all are looking at the development. And from the regulatory sense, from a regulatory sense,
if the only thing they have is the footprint, then we would multiply the land area of the footprint.
No, we're going to apply it to the land area of the development, and we'll look proportionately at how much of the development, and what proportion of the development is residential, what is use group reading, what is use group each of the, you know, office or...
So the retail portion has no recreation.
That's correct. So what proportion of the total floor area of the development will be residential?
Floor area,
all floors, anything enclosed, heated or unheated, measured from the outside of the building.
That's residential.
So it wouldn't include the public open space because that's just land, so that's not part of the calculation.
Because as far as determining the amount,
And is there a ratio? I mean, I've heard your formula, but is there a
for PPP? What would the ratio be?
By times the total thing and come up with a number that represents what?
In this case, actually, Cam, what we'll do is we'll find out proportionately how much of the development is residential. So how much for our total floor area, what percentage it is. And we'll take that percentage of the land in square feet and multiply it times the ratio of the number.
Okay, so it's still, even if it's 50 stories tall, it's only the 1.73 acres on the bottom.
It's the proportion of the 1.73 acres.
Right.
Yeah,
if 60% of the floor area is residential, then it's 60% of 1.73 multiplied by 0.128.
But Jacob, when you're talking about the project, and the land that's used in the project, for us as the owner, we're going to be given basically an outline Okay,
right.
Sure, sure. Now, I'll work in it. So is that
we're not going to publish data. I'm going to be looking at the development as a whole. So I'm going to be looking at the property that this development sits in. Correct. Yes. And I'll look at proportionately, the regulations tell me to look then proportionately at how much of the total floor area of that development is dedicated to residential use. And look at that in relation to your total floor area and look at that proportionately to the land area of the development. So the big lot.
Okay. If the town retains control over the public space, are you going to count the public space as well?
In the calculation, yes, okay. Because it's part of the overall development. Okay. So we don't really care about ownership from a regulatory sense. We're not looking at ownership. We don't care how you all divide this up. You can do whatever you want. And we're going to look at the development as it sits on the zoning law and apply those ratios for the zoning law.
How I get to one of those ratios that I'm applying to the total 1.73 or 37 acres. I would take the total floor area of the residential and I would divide that by the total all improvements?
But what percentage of your total floor area is the residential floor area? And so if it's 70%,
whatever that number is. So then you take 0.6 divided by 1.73 times 0.120.
We'll want to look at whether that's your grocery net because we're directed according to the ordinance to apply that to a gross land area figure, which gives a little bit of credit for the street area in the street, and then working from there. So,
while he's doing that, under the payment in lieu of improved recreation space, it says the developer would approve the town council and make a payment, and the town should use payments for the acquisition or development of recreation, comma, park, or open space sites to serve residents of the development. So if they gave us money to develop that open space, and the dollar amount they gave us, whatever the town does, we use it for that, and we would satisfy.
I think you can make that.
I think that would work.
Are you all going to do a finish or anything in the building? Because then that can set up that part. It does not have to be public.
We're just concerned if it doesn't satisfy all.
And then outside, we can do a payment in lieu, it sounds like. They set the dollar amount
annually with the budget.
And then that's been set, so we'll know what that dollar is.
But our payment in lieu is that we're paying to build it to begin with.
Well, that's what he was saying, is that that might get credited as the payment in lieu, not being credited.
You credit us, we can run it back to you to do that.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
While JD is here, are there other specifics that you'd like to talk about?
Well, we feel like we may have missed some other significant items. It should be budget items, maybe. And just because of my lack of familiarity with the town warden and your keen eye towards these things, we were hoping you might be able to look at our budget or work with us in identifying our shortcomings.
Mm-hmm. Like the rec fee, which we didn't really think about. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Right.
In fact, the
another, if you haven't talked about school in fact, these, that will be a good one to talk about. And stormwater traditionally has.
Are you the person for that? All of that?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I can alert you to things that you need to investigate.
Yeah,
the passion.
Yeah, that's what we need.
That's what we need. Yeah. Right. And then even, well, a town project wants to take application fees. I believe there's an extension fee.
This is a private project.
Okay. And so we will want to look at your range of permitting fees.
We're going to pay that in green stamps.
We prefer, what were the yellow ones? F and H?
They were gold stamps.
Oh,
they were gold.
Oh, that's right.
And they were bigger or something.
So just sort of rambling. So application fees.
When could I come see you?
Yeah, we need to sit down and talk.
You've got a whole checklist of things that you want to go through.
There's a historic district application fee.
I have just one other little thing that I have never felt comfortable with the whether or not the project was in the building envelope and meeting the setbacks. I'm not worried about the zero.
We know it's outside the building envelope in part.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we know that. We know we have to come to the town and get some approvals and variances and special use. We're hoping that will be cooperative.
And I did hear, and there are provisions for, in certain situations, modifications to the regulations. And then at one point in time, I believe I heard that in some way, the floor area was being looked at with multiple sites, and sort of the compliance with the floor area ratios. Is that all gone?
No, we do not sit there.
Okay, right. Because we do traditional with parcel blocks, zoning lot by zoning lot, and
that. ZB's role on this will be to be absolutely intellectually honest and rigorous in everything that we do, so that I can look the council in the eye and say that we've either obeyed every rule or we've identified the areas where the council needs to consider authorizing the modification of the rules. And she'll be very strict about that.
Okay. So what we can do when we set up the time to meet is we'll just go section by section through the ordinance so that she can make sure that she's been taken into account. I mean, it sounds like you've got most of the provisions covered, but we're just making a couple.
And I would recommend that you make that appointment by walking upstairs and seeing JB to make it, because sometimes it's hard for her to get all of her phone calls returned, and it's probably impossible for her to get through every email on a timely basis, so personal contact is more effective. Season.
How long are you in your office today?
I'll probably be up there until about 5:15, but then I'll be back at 6:45 for the planning board meeting if you'll be around then.
I will see you before 5:15.
Okay. I will be today
to pick a time.
Okay, excellent.
Thanks a lot, Peggy.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the SDP process as we meet here? Or?
Did you hear that?
I've actually been working on a couple of projects here, which I first met with JD on a while ago, so I'm familiar with the process.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
What are you working on, if you're asking?
I'm working on the corners of where it just changed the name of the road. Smartly became Boulevard, and we were daring. There's an outdoor piece on one side and the Howell piece on the other side.
Okay. We're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, the
for the Howell piece to the RFK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay, well,
hey, jump around.
Are you having fun? One of the questions that we have, which I know is none of our goals, but I bring up all the potential pitfalls. If there is some reason that Wallace Jack falls behind because of where we're at in the process, my guess is the stumbling block isn't figuring that out in the developer's agreement, but the question is, which you pointed out a couple of meetings ago, is how to finance Lot 5 moving forward if Wallace Jack lags behind. If there is a way, if there's a stumbling block because of time and we're worried about that, we don't want to rush something through that's not going to make sense, if we help to figure out how to bridge that gap, would that help solve the problem if that becomes an issue? If we can figure out how to get Lot 5 financed so that we can keep moving and that maybe Lot 5 happens first, and notwithstanding all the other things we're talking about Lot 2, would that be something that might be a potential issue solver?
I think it would depend on the nature of the way that would work, and as to what the potential exposure to the town would be. In other words, we wouldn't want to enter into something that was so uncertain that it could evaporate and would be left holding the bag. It was just parking lot side and no way to finance it.
Right.
And then the other part of it would be, assuming that we could figure out some way to all get comfortable that everything was going to proceed, it was just a matter of a little difference in timing.
Right.
Then there would be some question as to whether or not we would need the approval of the local government commission for something involving debt of some kind. And if that were required, then that raises my concern, because it's just not going to be smart for us to take on a whole lot of debt for the next year or so.
Okay. I think you're thinking, we would be thinking of something, and I'm not really sure. I mean, we talked about this briefly the other day for 5 minutes. You know, if there was a way for us to finance that with the town without, and I'm not sure how we would work the payback or future taxes or whatever, but if it made sense to work it in such a way where it made sense for you guys financially, you know, would that be a way, should that issue come up, to resolve it? Because I think that's our biggest worry, is that how fast to push Wallace Jack and not end up with the right thing, either for us or for you, because we know how important time is. So I don't want to assume that there isn't something within the process that if we need to pull the trigger, but we can satisfy what your question marks are and just save those two if we need to, you know.
Any debt would raise a separate set of concerns.
So whether it's the debt to us or to anybody else.
It wouldn't matter to whom it is. If it's a debt that we owed, we'd have to have approval of the local government commission, first of all, because it'd be significant. And then second, it could potentially affect our bond rating because of the ratios. A certain point, and it's hard to retain your AAA rating. And we're not going to go to the market right away. We've got a little time, but we just want to be careful of that.
Okay.
That
so
means
if it's an issue of timing,
we got to be real careful.
Okay.
And then approval is not quick.
And it is not certain.
And not certain.
One of the best things about North Carolina local government is that it's regulated by the local government commission in all financial matters. And that's why there are more AAA communities in this state than any other state in the union.
Right.
But they're very conservative, as they should be.
Okay.
Who's on that commission? Who comprises that commission?
Elected officials at the state government level, primarily. and you cannot influence them. And if you attempted to, that would end any working relationship that we have, Susan.
Just to be clear about that.
I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah. It's not a political body.
Are they going to help?
No, they're not going to help.
They approve all finances, and their view of the scope of their authority is broader than that. For example, you do a long-term lease.
Right.
They have to approve that.
Would they have to approve this one?
Flop the other way. If we were leasing
got it.
If we leased an office building for 20 years.
Got it. So it's called a local government commission, but it's
state
set
up to regulate our financial.
And what if that debt does not require a full faith and credit?
Doesn't matter.
What if it restructured?
If it's debt, it's debt. We owe it to you, it's a debt, and they got to approve it.
What if it's an investment on your part?
It's more than a certain number of years, like 5 years or something, or it's a certain amount of money. They have to approve
that. We would try to be helpful in that regard. Just there are a lot of limitations there that we have to be wary of, and some things we just don't have any control over at all.
Okay, sure. So it's not on your part a lack of willingness. If we need to save that, it's how do we make it happen?
I think that'd be a fair statement. Okay. I haven't heard from the council members, so I'm just speaking of administrator.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the concern would be to have no language that would make the Wallace Tech project less certain.
Right. I understand.
Right.
That's what I believe would be our interest.
So the question is when, not if. That's what you want to make sure is in the agreement.
Right.
If that has to happen.
If it has to happen, right. We'd rather it not happen.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
With respect to the budget and what was anticipated in the proposal, the budget right now does not include silver certification of these. And so that's something that is going to impact the overall budget. My understanding is that that's been made the town's minimum threshold. Is that right?
Well, as the town projects, the council has adopted a policy that instructs us to attain silver LEED certification for all of our institutional buildings. That does not apply in any way that I see, Ralph, to this particular project as a matter of ordinance, does it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question becomes, what is the council's desire as an outcome for this project? And they talked a lot about that, and I think it's clear the desire is to get LEED silver certification, if possible.
Okay, what does LEED mean?
I have no idea.
Oh, you're using the term.
It's something like environment energy design.
Okay.
I've been informed that doing that for residential development is a challenge because it's not really set up.
Everybody's in the process of inventing
right.
it.
Right. And so I think the council's desire would be to do everything that is reasonably possible to work in that direction on the residential, and then to try to attain it clearly as an objective for the commercial portion of it. Am I saying that right?
I think right now, and Susan will correct me if I'm wrong, but what we have budgeted is there's a point system to get silver status or any kind of accreditation, and I think it's like 33 points for silver, and we've budgeted like 28 points, and those last like 5 points were mostly about paperwork
for
$500,000.
Yeah. the commissioning part of it.
Correct. Yeah. Well, it all has to be commissioned, regardless of level of mm-hmm. condition, and the commissioning is a point. So it's not a small number, a point yeah. of your heart clash. To get from just being lead accredited mm-hmm. to silver accreditation is fairly difficult, you know, solve mm-hmm. that money, but it's $500,000 to go based on today's number. I don't know how we should look at it, the project today. And tomorrow we're spending all day with, well, I'm spending all day with the contractor looking at how does the contemporary design affect lead accreditation in terms of glass and heat and reflective natures. And, you know, so part of this is we're going to have to be realistic in how we design it in terms of the trade-off for getting to that, those next 7 or 8 points. But right now, in the budget, we've included a lead accrediting commissioning agent, and we've included lead accreditation. We just haven't included the last $500,000 to get to the silver level. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the council has been working on the council committee has been working on the Aquatic Center, and we're very aware of those issues. On the residential side, you know, I would suggest you take a look at the Triangle J Council of Governments has high performance building standards.
Mm-hmm. And we will meet most of those though. Here's the problem. A lot of what they have right now doesn't apply to 102 bathrooms upstairs. Right. It applies to the commercial area in terms of cooling and in terms of building materials. Yeah. But when we get to, the appliances are easy because they have a rating on them. Mm-hmm. And that's the easy part. And the fixtures and bathrooms have rating on how much water usage. It's, you know, we can use flour drywall, weak drywall instead of normal drywall, and pick up 2 points. That's going to be $1 million just to get weak drywall. Right. And we can use bamboo floors and pick up 2 points. I don't know that we're going to sell bamboo floors in Chapel Hill. We have a hard time selling them in Florida. So the last 5 points are very technical in terms of, okay, now what are we going to do? Because there aren't guidelines for the residential portions of it. And you can't put 102 cisterns up on the roof saying we're going to recycle water.
Right, but the Triangle Council of Governments high performance building standards apply to residential.
Right.
It does not get you any status?
No. Okay. It's separate. And. You know, I would suggest that you think about way. I think that silver is the council goal, and I recognize that it may not be applicable in this situation, but that you're going to have to fully address this council goal in some fashion.
Okay.
Well, even if it doesn't say silver, we'll be able to show you that we've gone as far as. It allows in order to get as close to whatever would be assumed mm-hmm. as silver as possible.
Well, yeah, I know Councilmember Ward, for example, is really going to be very interested in the commissioning aspect. So it almost seems silly if you're going to pay for the commissioning not to try to get the silver points for the non-residential part of the structure, because that became a real obstacle on the Aquatic Center. So, I know it's going to be a discussion point for the council. Mm-hmm.
Well, part of this, let's back up for a second. Part of this is why we chose Skanska, because they're the leading builder of this thing. And so we're taking a lot of our information from them and their experience. We can, of course, comply to the silver lead specifications for the detail. Here's the problem is that exists today. It's hard to get those points unless it's standalone retail. Once it's in a mixed-use project, they blend it all together and say, now all of this has to meet all of these requirements, but they don't count. So that's kind of the basket we're trying, and Skanska's working diligently to see if there is a pilot program for mixed-use that we can be the pilot test case on, and we will meet the minimum performance standards for residential. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I can very clearly know that we will meet those. Most buildings, whether they're lead accredited or not, meet those performance requirements. So I'm not concerned technically about that. It's that going in to apply for the silver status in a mixed-use project, I don't know that they'll even know they'll say, we're going to judge it all as if it's a single family house, we're going to judge it all as if it's commercial, and then we're going to get caught in the middle. So we're continuing to investigate that, and if we're going to get there at all, it's with Canada. I feel very comfortable and confident in that. And so I'm just letting you know there's a concern because it's Nick who let it get off.
Right, I got you.
Even with the 500,000, you're not positive you could get it.
Right, that's correct, right. Because they don't know which spot they put us in to judge us.
Right, so it may be the wrong tool to benchmark this project from that point of view.
Right.
And that.
Well, the aquatic center is a standalone building with a single purpose use, so they know how to judge that building.
Does the Toronto Fair have standards?
Yeah, they have
the high performance building standards, the green building standards, but it's not. And what I'm thinking is if there's some way you can demonstrate that the commercial portions met the silver, and they've included the standalone, and that you met the high performance building standards on all of the residential, that might be the best you could hope for in this circumstance.
Or given that there is no lead
properties. And that's just an incontrovertible fact.
Right.
Even if they wouldn't certify.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we talking about what Cal just said?
What's
the triangle thing called?
It's the triangle J. Council's programs. They have high performance building standards on their website.
Right.
And they're very good.
It's the region council governs. It's what we just call the triangle J area.
But I would say that, you know, the people are expecting, you know, silver just from the rough jargon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they don't know what that
means. Even if they don't know what that means, they're going to have to articulate the reasons that it was a deviation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's cancer, right?
Well, Grandma Scott sent this proposal with a memorandum of understanding.
You know what you're concerned about.
Then you got back there, you know, it's like you don't know where you are.
Okay. Well, maybe we should take a few minutes and just go through our thoughts.
And sort of regroup where we think we are and what we set a list of what we think the outstanding issues are.
I think you've gone through, one, you haven't gone through the milestones, which.
I think.
I don't think we'll be able to fill in these blanks until after we see.
Yeah,
right. And I can just tell you technically in B. It will be the other way around. We will not get a firm financing commitment until there are complete plans, specs, and a permit. In 20 years of doing this, I have yet to encounter a lender who will issue a firm commitment without a permit. So.
Without
a what? Without a permit. Without a drawing.
You don't think they'll do it on the permit?
No.
They send up their appraisers and their engineers, and they do all that stuff before they even do it.
Because once it's a firm commitment, you know they have to set it aside. And they're not going to set it aside until they know it's an approved by it.
But those days are all going to be really subject to read on the budget, too.
Well, here we are with what they like on the 18th and the 1st.
And I'm assuming that complete and submit to the town a complete development review application. That's the concept plan, which we're hoping gets submitted in October, mm-hmm. right? Based upon what we have, this part of the
process.
I think concept, doesn't concept plan review happen before the special use permit?
I know it comes first, but I don't know that we compare that really.
The application would be the special use permit application.
Okay.
Concept plan review is just, this will take an adjournment. It's almost going to be redundant after we go through the process.
So does that mean we sort of, do we skip that step,
no,
or
do
we still
it.
Have to do it anyway?
No, we have to do it.
Okay.
We really ought to change that to a complete special use permit application.
Yeah. Because really the only feedback you get is general comments and a transcript of those. You don't get any action by the comments.
We figured you probably wouldn't have a complete app before 06.
We won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're going to make it go through a concept plan review, why wouldn't you talk about that as well?
Well, they're going to have to do that, or they won't be able to submit it.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Should we put that in the schedule, I think, John?
Yeah. Oh, it should be.
I'm sorry. You can put it in the schedule.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because you can't do
A,
you can't do B if you don't do
A.
Right. And although everything about this project is a little different, one of the values of going through the concept plan review is that all of the members of the council will be seated when you're making that presentation, and the public will have yet another opportunity to understand this concept and what you're putting forward to the town.
We've got a section in there at the bottom about an additional deposit at the time we execute a development agreement.
Right. That was in the RFP,
right? I don't think so. Maybe it was.
Wasn't there something about some kind of additional
$80,000,
$50,000 requirement if we're chosen
once we sign?
Not that we want to make that up.
Yeah,
not that we prefer to eliminate and not have our money sitting being idle.
Here, I can probably send it faster. Can we go back for a second? I'm assuming these milestone dates may be different for each project.
Yes.
Because all the stacks of dates would be potentially lagging somewhat.
It would be different.
Right.
It's not to your advantage to have them different.
Well, I'm trying to.
We're not trying to. I'm always thinking of. You know, that's my job. My job is, I always say what if.
It would be a significant disadvantage if you separate
you don't
for everybody.
Yeah.
It would be a problem.
$35,000.
All right, just pay that.
Did
we pay that? Yeah. We did? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we took it out.
Okay.
And our suggestion was that we feel like there ought to be another deposit at the time we do the purchase development agreement. And we'd let that amount blank. But that is your supply of rent.
So the $35,000 is irrevocable and doesn't get applied to.
All right, that's in the pot now. That's dispersed to all the taxpayers.
Okay, so I'm not really, you know, we're already, our commitment is, and our financial spending is already out there. I'm not sure what more of a commitment a deposit represents, considering it can't be enough to guarantee our performance on any of this stuff, and it's just money staying idle kind of thing. So I'm not sure what benefit it is. I mean, you know, we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars now, which is really what you want to be seeing in terms of our commitment.
John, you want to explain your thinking on this?
We're looking for a way to keep you incentivized if you continue to go, if you meet your milestones. That's what we're after.
Well, what kind of deposit are you thinking about?
Well, that's what we were willing to negotiate, that we thought it was appropriate.
John thought $500,000 was appropriate.
additional way that on top of all the other money that we're spending, that we're going to leave that money sitting just to keep us going. I mean, we have to trust that everything that we're doing together and all the money that we're spending now and moving forward is our contribution and our incentive to staying in this. I mean, I don't...
But what assurance do we have that you're going to have to divert?
That our incentive that the project works, that we're getting the returns that we need, whatever those other intangibles are, but frankly, that's what we do for a living, and to the extent that we're going to make money here in Chapel Hill, and it's a viable project, that's what we get.
Project, two or three viable projects in the bar come up, and then you get diverted, and you lose time and ground. That's what I'm worried about.
So that means we're walking away from hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of investments that we've already put in to date, and we'll continue. I mean, we've already done that much, and we'll continue to. I mean, no developer has hundreds of thousands of dollars committed to these kinds of projects and walks away. Generally speaking, in any of our private developments, while we all spend money, we all look to mitigate our risk in the time we've spent, and we have looked away from some of that risk to the state because this is a different type of partnership. So we've committed funds and moved forward in good faith on all of this stuff and spent lots of money.
Well, it's evidence for that. Without having the list done, we've agreed to concurrently continue working on architectural designs and engineering fees. So instead of waiting to know that we're going to deal with you and then say, okay, now we'll talk about spending your money in architectural and engineering, we've agreed to simultaneously do both of these at the same time.
We're doing that anyway at our risk.
And Sean, we're over $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And for due diligence money, that's on
$300,000 of money to spend for our time.
That's money spent, checks written. And that's unheard of, even for a project this size, without knowing whether the deal is yours or not.
I guess I'm going to reconvene with my partner.
Yeah, we can put it on the list of things that we need to get this off.
How come your list is shorter than our list?
You think so?
Well, with respect to risk and due diligence items, there were a few recommendations by ECS in the environmental report and the geotech report. Did y'all get the follow-up study conducted?
We haven't done anything to follow up.
Yeah, on the environmental record there is something that we haven't, nobody's investigated it, but there may be something.
A score point with me as well, I remember that, so I put a circle around it and stayed out of it. So, but yes, there needs to be some follow up done on it, and he did ask, call me last week and ask me.
We had a satisfactory condition before your exploration.
I understand.
And we had a condition that did not require us to take any other action. Based on the reports that had been submitted to the state and approved by the state.
What is the background?
We had already done explorations there. We'd already gone through a process.
Phase 1, phase 2 kind of thing?
Yeah, right. We'd already done that. And,
they were clean. They were part of the due diligence, and they were clean.
Okay.
And then we stepped in and tried to do more soil boring to confirm the actual topography of the rock. We encountered a potential situation there. But I didn't do anything else about it besides alert everybody that this report was now done.
So is that something that you normally get? You report to the state because you're a town? Like you get...
The state has been working with the next door neighbor.
The gas station. Okay.
And they'd gone through a process. And so we knew that we should be concerned. And so we had done our own review using UCS.
Right.
And we got a clean report back. Right?
Yes.
How long
ago
was that done?
You all received it.
Yeah, we saw it
in
February or March.
It didn't even mention this program, so in the conclusion.
That's right. That was a separate thing because it was clean. They've already gone through the process of remediation. They were satisfied with it. And we were sitting on a completely clean site. And Susan, you want to explain?
Well, I know we did these soil borings.
Without permission.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And so I think y'all are liable for that, Holly, just to be real blunt about it.
Well, okay, so,
I'm not willing for us to have to do anything else, but that unauthorized report creates a necessity for.
So the question is, though, if we had relied upon that information, right, if we're in a perfect world and we had relied upon that information, and what you're saying is, and then we went in and there was a current problem, it would have been our problem.
No, what I'm saying is, if you had said, we want to do more soil borings, and we had said yes, then it would be our problem. And it is our problem. But I'm not willing for us to spend any more money right now to find out anything further.
What the problem is.
Or do anything further that we're not required to do as a matter of law.
Okay, so but my question is, let's say we explored and found something. Then the question is not who pays for the exploration or figures it out. The question is what happens thereafter? Is it the town's responsibility to keep clean it up, or is it our responsibility to clean it up?
I think it's going to depend on what it is, and it's going to depend on what we negotiate.
Okay.
It is all being just going to dig it all out anyway, right?
Well, it depends upon what the issue is. Is there a water table? Is there maybe no issue? We don't know. We don't know. Maybe it's still clean. What happened is that we went in, there was a miscommunication about permission, and essentially we didn't ask permission from the town, and we did extra soil borings. Our soil guy called Susan and said, we found...
Pumes, yeah.
Right.
Gas pumes.
They did they did the drill for the soil order.
Right.
They smelled it, I told them to not test it.
Right.
They just smelled it, standing over their nose, smelled it. So I said I don't want any tests done, I don't own them.
Don't do anything. And then you said
that's why I tripped over the fact that I didn't have permission.
Because
I told them.
Did you show a report in writing?
Nothing.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Because when I talked to John and Cal, how do you want me to do this? I said, I need to know what they know.
Yeah.
But I did not have the smell tested.
We didn't do anything about it. We just recorded what we found.
And they said that they didn't know what they found, and they just wanted me to know. So it's not like they said, oh, it's ABC or XYZ. They just said, hey, look.
And I take it as a potential transmigration from an adjoining gas station.
Correct.
It's already been...
Because it was on that line.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying is, if y'all want to do some more tests, we'll give you permission to do that.
Right. And then based upon that conclusion, we figure out...
Then we'll have information.
Right.
DHEC's been pretty good in the municipalities ignoring things like that, simply because...
What does that mean?
They'll say, pour a bunch of concrete in there, don't worry about it, literally. Okay. Simply because they recognize that there's only so much you can do in a town, particularly if they've already given it a clean bill of health.
Okay.
Wasn't there an old gas station over there?
Yes, there was. There were two. There was McFarland's and then another. It was like an SO in America.
Right.
We had a project in Charlotte where the water table was clearly polluted with oil and gas and all that stuff from an automotive place.
Right.
And they just said, we understand. The developer came up with a proposal and they should put concrete over it. And an underground parking deck at Bank of America Square in Charlotte. Two stories of underground parking on a whole block and it's just concrete and moved on.
Okay.
They take a fairly realistic view.
Okay.
Not in the suburbs, but in town.
Susan was not intentionally doing anybody any harm.
We
understand that.
Right.
But the fact is, it was something done without our permission.
Right.
And I'm not going to let you off the hook in that regard.
Well, we're not arguing over exploratory tests.
Right.
Even if we were sitting here today, we could either rely on the other environmental or as part of our due diligence request.
Right.
Precisely.
Right.
We don't
have
to worry about
that.
But I don't think there's anything else that we need. There may be other things that we want to do, that's fine, and we'll work that out.
Okay, I understand.
I'm
Are you saying that we would now, right now, today, and beyond, do you have your permission to do it?
No, there's a form that, there's a procedure to go through. I don't know how that works.
I didn't know if we were saying we tried or we still.
No, you're bring it in ahead of time.
We have to get the mission, we have to agree on the time, we have to approve, any borrowing points, we gotta have insurance and all that stuff.
Okay, as long as there was.
And I really did not use ECS, because frankly, I think ECS issues for additional work. So I'd rather use somebody else's.
Okay.
How deep were they when they found this canal?
I want to tell you that that line, it was between 15 and 25 feet. It all the way.
Metal there.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a real scientific test.
Well, and that's what I don't want to test it, you know, you're some guy in the field, and.
Test his nose.
Well, I know somebody was leaking gasoline next door.
Right.
They happen to be standing over there, so.
So maybe an unconsistent.
Very unconsistent.
Especially, and the only reason we used ECS is because in theory they did the first one, so I didn't want to do the same hold again. So I didn't. That is the corner where the rock is deepest, by the way, that is the corner we're trying to.
Right, there's all the way down, meaning shallowest.
Yes, correct. The lock comes off, yes, correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. So we're trying to avoid that.
Is it the same environmental testing company in the same hole?
No, they work in the same hole. That's why I went in and.
But that'd be pretty suspect, but.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I mean, alternative parking. Who's responsible at the town for that fun job of figuring it out? It's you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing we would work with you on, well, the alternative parking and ideas, which you alluded to before, and the staging of what we need to do?
On staging, that's your problem, and we will do the best we can to be helpful to you.
Right. So you would have to approve any staging plan, right, that we came up with?
We would have to approve staging to the extent that it took place off that site.
Okay.
Right.
How long did it take?
I'm sorry. I'm being told that the ground running of that site won't be as disruptive as driving the sheep pile, by the way. So that's a good thing in terms of expeditiously trying to get that rock out of there. That the ground running techniques today are, you won't, if they do it right, you won't know to
that
they blasted it. So that's a good thing.
Blasting is actually better than jackhammering.
Because it's half, at least half the time, and it's not constant all day. It's two blasts a day instead of that constant in terms of interruption for the downtown residents of the country.
You mentioned the possibility of closing wall staples just sporadically or for a long period of time.
Well, when you put the sprinkler system in, if we're going to close it, that's going to be, you know, that's a. You can't do that in a weekend.
You do that section by section.
You can't do that section by section,
right.
So you can fill it section by section. Right. And the ventilation isn't a big deal, you do that section
right.
by section. So I'm not thinking we're going to close it entirely for extended periods of time.
You're not talking about because of the construction, you're going to have to shut it down for 3 months.
I think the key on that is to make the best estimate we can of how much business interruption there will be and figure out how much cost will be related to that.
Mm-hmm.
Certain times of year would be far less cost than others.
Right.
And certain segments of the deck, because of its location, would be less cost than others too.
One of the things that we didn't talk about, which is actually a very big concern of ours when we're not fully through the process, is the concept of building on top of the Wallace deck while the Wallace deck is fully operational.
Mm-hmm.
Huge safety liability issues, which is one of those other reasons that while you want to keep the deck running, we may also not want to. We as a whole may not want to keep the deck running because of those issues. We haven't fully figured that out yet. And I know that that will disrupt your income stream and the ability to
have a lot of money. The entire downtown. It would be It just is, that's kind of for business.
And I've got a national firm telling me that you don't have to close it
here. If we get group off that lot and then lot five at the same time, at least could be.
I cannot recommend that. Use life spend money to provide protective devices and that can be done. And there may be times when, because of the nature of an operation, we'll have to shut down for a period of time, we might allow parking in a certain area for a period of time, and all of that's understandable, but we can't just cease operations.
The bigger concern is businesses.
You know,
right.
The first concern is we've got to keep the businesses in operation. The second concern is the revenue.
Okay.
If we could figure out how to shut it down and keep all the businesses operating, we could figure out what to do about the revenue.
Okay.
But I don't know how you could shut down that parking deck, but at the same time you shut down parking lot number five.
Right, I understand.
Without just killing the downtown.
Right.
Hurting it so bad that it would not come back for years and years and years. That's right. But there are lots of places where this kind of construction takes place above people's heads all the time, and I'm sure we can figure out a way to do it.
That's what we're working on.
Yeah.
There'll be days that will have to be closed because you're swinging a live load over or something, and there'll be days when you've got to do the lead old bracing in certain parts of it, and the top level may be closed for a week, and then the next level. So we'll continue to work on that. Parts of this aren't going to be pretty, but we understand the need, and we understand that it's a necessity. So we'll chip away at that. Is that alley back there owned by the town, all the way around the wall, Seth? Who owns
that? The portion of the alleyway that's inside of the lines is a public alleyway. And Ralph, didn't we establish our interest in all of it?
If you swim around the back of it, you pull out spaces and there's a line on the front.
Right. But we have a right to control all the part that is the public alley.
Because this is all public alley, just swings around and comes back here, but of course, a little parking space on the private wall.
And on the other side, next to the Bank of America building, is that alley public?
Public alley.
Okay.
This is our alley comes up, and this is the entrance right here.
Right.
And Ralph, people still have a right of access, don't they? I understand these regulations. We cannot completely remove it.
No, these folks need to be able to get up in here to go take business.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So anytime that alleyway is going to be interrupted, there has to be advance notice, and you have to let people understand for how long, that kind of thing.
And I understand that this is way too technical, and we can talk to somebody else about it, but there's a public town-owned trash compactor back there?
Maybe it was behind the post office.
And is it potentially possible to move that?
We'll have to find another location, yeah. I mean, it can be moved. All of the businesses on that portion of Franklin Street put their garbage into that back.
And they have a key, I understand?
They have a key. We don't charge. We charge a flat fee on the rest of these, depending on the type of business they have.
Right. Okay.
Well, maybe we should continue
to see
that.
And that
way we can
sort of
gather files
since we've
come
from. You want to go up to the second floor of conference room?
Yeah, that's fine.
Gordon, would you show up, please, sir?
We'll try to come back and see what we think is the comprehensive list of what we need to talk about, what we need to talk about still.
Thank you.